Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Dunamos Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamos Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Normally at this point, I would read our mission statement for you. But instead, we're going to do things a little bit differently today. My regular co-host, Catherine, isn't able to be here today, so I want to welcome Sharon, who's joining me as our guest co-host today.
Thank you.
So, Sharon, would you go ahead and give contact information before we go into some of the other topics?
Yeah, you can reach us at dunamoslife@dunamoscenter.com. On Twitter, we're at Your Dunamos Life, and on Facebook, it is Dunamos Center Ministries.
Yes. So you can find us at those places. You can call the center.
Yes.
719-231-7183.
And you could go to our website.
Yep.
At dunamoscenter.com, and Dunamos is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S.
Correct. And so we would love to hear from you and have your comments on the shows or ideas for other shows as well. Before we go into our main topic, I felt like I'd like to take a few minutes today and talk about not only our mission statement, but our core values.
The
past year and a half, God has been working with us on really understanding our identity.
Yes.
And then helping people to understand part of what our identity is or how we approach what we do.
Yes. Do you want to do the mission statement before we go into that?
Yeah, why don't you just go ahead and read that for us?
To bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriage, births, and families who have a deeper relationship with God and each other.
Right. So we've known all along that we want to bring praise, honor, and glory to God.
Yes.
Everything we do, we want people to see the Lord in it.
And so that's why we developed core values.
We did. But before we developed all of those, we also wanted to say, well, what exactly is our place as far as in the world, or what areas of life are we to focus on to bring praise and honor and glory to God? Because it can be very broad.
Yes, it can.
And a lot of times people might be left with, well, okay. I mean, as Christians, we all want to do that.
Yeah.
So that was when we realized that we had these areas that we were really focusing on. We want marriages that bring praise, honor, and glory to God. We want to see childbirth bring praise, honor, and glory to God.
Yes.
And we want to see families that are healthy and strong to bring praise, glory, and honor to God, which is why we also do the biblical wellness side.
Yes.
So basically we decided those are three pillars: marriage, childbirth, and biblical wellness to accomplish our mission statement.
Yeah.
Now, how do we go about doing that? You mentioned our core values.
Right.
We had to really look at who are we biblically, or what direction did God want us to focus our own personal lives, as well as what we would hope people would see here at the center.
Because our personal lives will come out here in the center.
Yes, they will. And if we aren't focusing on growing in certain areas, that's going to be revealed also in how we treat people. So we came up with, it's an acronym that only one we could really come up with. And we always refer to it as our GG flakes, because then we know what we're wanting to point out. And it originally came out of 1 Peter.
Yeah.
And then we explored even deeper into other places in Scripture where we could see some support and encouragement in these specific areas.
Right.
So the first G
is godliness.
Yes. And we reference here 1 Timothy 4:8, where we pursue holiness in all areas of our lives.
And sometimes that's hard.
It is hard. But you mentioned we bring it with us.
That's right.
So if we're not pursuing it in our personal lives, then we're not bringing it with us into the center.
Right.
So the Bible talks a lot about pursuing godliness. And I like that it says pursue. Because I don't think this side of heaven we're going to fully accomplish.
No.
You know.
No.
But we're to pursue Christ-like behavior, Christ-like attitudes, Christ-like living. Right. So we should be seeing ourselves going from glory to glory and growing every time. Our second G is goodness. Goodness to us is pursuing excellence in all that we do, not just to be good in it, but to also show goodness or excellence to the people that we serve.
Yeah, that's Philippians 4:8.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to show that goodness in all that we do.
Yeah.
Here. Faith, of course, that's displayed in our belief in Jesus Christ for our salvation and everyone else. Our Romans 10, 9, and 10, you know, people talk about the Romans road.
Right.
But really, without the faith, none of the rest of it matters or doesn't really happen.
That's true.
You know, so everybody here has faith and salvation through Jesus Christ.
Next one is love, showing benevolence and care the way God would have us to do. That's our 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8.
Right. And so love to me is treating people the way that God would treat them.
Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't involve personalities. It doesn't involve what kind of day I'm having.
Right.
It involves, how does God want me to show this person his love today?
Yeah.
In those areas of marriage, birthing, and biblical wellness. And we want people to know that God really loves them through all of us.
Right. We have to demonstrate it not only here at the center, but at home and our church and people we meet.
Yes, because we represent God and we represent Jesus, and we want praise, honor, and glory to go to him by showing his love.
Yes.
To people. Our next one is affection, or showing kindness to everyone we come in contact with. It's really interesting because here at the center, we're always evaluating at our staff meetings, where are we? How are we feeling about things?
Yeah.
And, you know, I hate to admit that, I guess about a year ago, God was really revealing to me that I really wasn't showing or having a lot of affection towards families or people that I was caring for. So, you know, Colossians 3:12 talks about showing that kindness, and I really, really pursued the heart of God.
Yeah.
On having affection, not just showing the love of Christ, but actually having affection towards
right.
those that we serve.
Right.
Because it can be easy to start performing
yes.
our faith, our godliness, our goodness.
Yeah.
But to actually experience it. And, you know, I love how God tolerates me and helps me to grow.
He tolerates all of us.
Yeah. And so affection has really grown in me towards the people that we work
yeah.
with
and
yeah. each other within
yes.
the center as well. Then we have knowledge, which is continually pursuing education and best practices in the areas we each specialize in, and to pursue full knowledge and understanding of the mission, values, and vision for Dunamis Center Ministries. That's our Proverbs 1:7. So we do have, you know, our marriage, childbirth, biblical wellness areas.
Right.
And so really in some ways all of us need to have some knowledge
yes.
in all of it.
In all of it, yes.
But then since I'm the marriage counselor, you know, I have to continually be aware of what's out there and continually pursuing that. Jeff and Catherine are, you know, pursuing childbirth. We all do. You know, I would love to say I don't, but I can't help it.
Well, when you have a passion.
Yeah. And so
you continue doing that when you have that passion.
Right. And because of the post-birth trauma counseling I do,
yeah.
I have to keep up to date on all of that as well. And now we're really growing our knowledge and understanding in the biblical wellness as we get ready to really expand that pillar.
Right.
I think all of us to a degree are doing that.
So the next one is endurance, patiently continuing forward even in the face of seeming adversity, showing follow through and waiting on God. That's Isaiah 40:31. That's probably one of the hardest ones, especially for anybody at the Dunamis Center.
Well, the four of us that are here really have displayed this endurance. Life is not easy when you really step out for God. People think it's going to be just all easy.
Yeah.
And we go into really big challenges. And it's interesting because we've had different volunteers come through.
Oh, yeah.
We try to tell them this is not going to be like roses and butterflies, and God's not just going to rain money down from heaven, and you know.
Everybody seems to think, oh, life will be wonderful if I work at a Christian ministry.
And it's actually harder because the enemy's really after you when you step out like that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like what we do at all.
No.
And he has challenged every single one of us very deeply. And like I said, the four of us who are here now are the four that have endured.
Yeah.
Not everybody can endure.
No.
So endurance is huge.
And it's a must.
And it's a must. And that endurance starts with knowing what God has directed you to do.
Yeah.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts for any of us.
No.
There's no, well, maybe I got it wrong. We all know we had that God moment. Jeff and Catherine and I have done our radio shows, and you'll be doing yours, on how we knew.
Right.
And so, you know, we talk to people before they come in, and we're like, how do you know? Oh, God's telling me, God's telling me. And, I mean, how quickly have we lost some volunteers?
I don't know that we've had anybody really last. Well, we've had a couple last maybe 6 months.
Yeah.
That's about all they could take.
Yeah.
Most of them, it's a month, maybe.
Yeah, they can't push through it.
No.
Now, the last one is self-control, which is a really good feed-in to our main topic today. And I know we've spent a lot of time on this, but I think having these biblical foundations are important to understand what we're about to talk about. And self-control is esteeming others as more important than yourself, really.
Yeah.
And so that's Philippians 2:3. And we don't really understand how does that then tie in with sex is your marriage gift? Well, it ties in hugely because, number one, I have to control myself, right?
Right.
But I also have to esteem the other person that I'm with or dating better than myself.
Right.
And so in our culture today, sex has become the answer to everything. Every emotional upset, you know, you feel lonely, have sex. You feel depressed, have sex. You feel disappointed, have sex. And we've completely lost sight of, well, what about godliness or goodness or faith or love or affection or even knowledge and endurance until you get married and then having self-control till you get there.
Right.
What about all that?
Yeah. Well, that's too much to ask for.
You know, and people think the Bible is antiquated, but it really is not. You know, as I've grown as a Christian, which I was not a Christian before I was married.
Right.
And so I was in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that a lot of what the Word has to say is for the body. And I just wish somebody would have told me somewhere along the way the beauty of the sex act as the act of marriage.
Yes.
If somebody would have just said something along the way about how wonderful it can be if you just wait for that person that God has for you.
Right.
That you don't have to fall into what everybody else is doing. It could have changed everything.
Yeah.
Well, it would have changed everything.
It most people just see sex as a thing to do. When even for me, it was just, it's just what you do.
Right.
Because I wasn't a Christian either.
Right.
And you don't have those, wow, that was really special.
Right. It's almost like it's a thing you should be embarrassed of to throw away your virginity.
Yeah.
And our culture uses this weird language of, well, I lost my virginity.
And oh, yeah.
I mean, I hate that because it's like, what, you laid it down somewhere and you can't remember where you put it? Fell out of your purse while you were walking down the street? I mean, virginity has only two ways that it's gone. You give it away or somebody steals it.
Right.
But you don't lose it.
No.
It's not something that you can lose. But God wanted the marital act, which is really what intercourse is.
Yes.
To be a unique, special thing that sets you apart as a married couple.
Right.
So how does it set you apart as a married couple if you've just had sex with everybody you've come in contact with?
Yeah, it doesn't really.
So when you get married, what does that even mean anymore? What makes that a special relationship other than you now have a legal piece of paper that says you're supposed to be a special couple?
Right. It doesn't. There's it doesn't really set it apart.
And so your virginity and your sexuality is a very special gift.
Yes.
And we've lost that sense of wonder about it and awe. That this is an amazing thing that only you have.
Right.
And you only have it to give once.
Once.
And once you've given it, you can never get it back.
Nope.
And unfortunately, too many women realize, and men maybe, but women in particular, because I talk with them more, realize that after the first time they've had sex, they just gave away the most precious thing they had.
Yeah.
To somebody they didn't even half care about sometimes.
Or may never see again.
So that roots in, and the enemy likes to use that to say, well, it doesn't matter now. You've already given that away. Just sleep with whoever. And then we just start sleeping around.
Yeah.
And the Bible calls it fornication.
Yes.
And if you look up fornication, you will find
the definition,
which means sex between two unmarried people.
Yeah.
So, or between unmarried people. So even if you're married to somebody else and you have sex with somebody else right. that you're not married to, it's fornication.
Yeah.
And the Bible has a lot to say about how fornication is really not God's plan.
Yes.
I mean, we've got so many scriptures here, but just in the New Testament, you can just start in 1 Corinthians 6:18. You can go to 2 Corinthians 12:21. We can jump to Galatians 5:19, where it talks about this is the works of the flesh.
Right.
And fornication is listed there.
Yeah.
Okay, Ephesians 5:3, Colossians 3:5, Jude 1:7. But the one that is telling and so strong on it is when Paul is talking to the Thessalonians, and he is really talking about God does not like this at all.
Yeah.
Yep. And so he is really laying it out as to what God really thinks of it. And so give me just a second and I'll get there. Okay, so 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication.
Yep.
That each one of you know how to control your own body.
Self-control.
Yeah, in holiness and honor. So it's not just I got to control myself. It's holiness and it's honor to God and it's honor to you and it's honor to your spouse.
Yes, it is.
Whoever that may turn out to be. Not with lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one wrong or exploit a brother or sister in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things. Just as we have already told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God did not call us to impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever rejects this teaching rejects not human authority, but God.
Wow.
Who also gives his Holy Spirit to you. So when you say, as a Christian, I can have sex, or you pressure a sister to have sex with you that you're not married to.
Yeah.
God is talking here to the body of believers.
Yes.
He's not talking to the world. So, unfortunately, we can't do a lot about them.
Right.
I mean, I can teach them. I can tell them that God has a better way, that we know there's beauty in it. And I'll talk in a minute about what you bring with you
mm-hmm.
when you do fornicate.
Right.
And we're going to use the biblical language on this. But here, Sharon, I'm in the office all the time doing the marriage counseling, right?
Right.
And I'm asking for their stories. You know, how did they meet? How did the relationship go? Blah, blah, blah. And it always amazes me how many Christians who are going to church, maybe even leading a Bible study, were having sex before they got married.
Wow.
And then they wonder why their marriage is not blessed.
Right.
Now, I don't think God's like, I'm going to punish you. But he is, well, he says here he will, but I'm just saying part of it is just he lets you live out the consequence of your choice.
Right.
And your choice will really bring damage to the emotional part of the relationship, the physical part of the relationship, your children, all of it.
Yeah, it does.
I'm also more surprised when I get a premarital couple who haven't had sex yet than I am by the ones who are living together or sleeping together. And these, again, are professing Christians.
Well, and that's sad when it's more surprising that they're not having sex.
I know.
Than they were. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, and Then we get very extreme in the church. So, you know, for example, I remember one youth pastor who was married and all that. He confessed that he had had sex with his wife before they got married, and then he couldn't be the youth pastor anymore. Well, actually, if he understood these things, he could actually be more effective with the youth as to why this is bad, how hard it was to transition to a marital relationship, how there was nothing special on the wedding night. There was no like, wow, this is what sets us apart as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
This is what makes this my wife.
Yeah.
And biblically, in the Old Testament, when they had a wedding ceremony,
yeah,
the moment that they were husband and wife was when they went into the tent and had sex.
Right.
That's what completed the marriage.
Yes.
Not the ceremony, not the party, not the paper.
Right.
It was intercourse. Now we're married.
Yeah.
So this is also why if you have a sexual problem and you end up not having sex right after you get married, you can get an annulment without even blinking an eye, because even the law recognizes that's not a marriage.
True. That's true.
But yet people think they can have sex with whoever they want and walk away unscathed.
And it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. You bring all that with you.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about how, and this is in the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I believe, where it talks about how sexual sin is different.
Yeah.
Than other sin.
Yeah.
And it says that it's a sin against your own
body.
Yeah.
Every other sin's a sin outside the body, but this one is toward the body.
And we've also learned over the years how spirits are passed. This is why there's so much sexual assault, too, because the enemy's using it to really put within you the spirit of abuse and victim.
It's interesting when God designed something to be so pure, so beautiful.
Yes.
Satan takes it and tries to kill it in every arena.
And it does really impact marriages very negatively.
Yes.
The couples that I work with, especially premarital, that have not had sex, and I talk with them about getting ready for the sexual relationship, one of the things that we talk about is how if you don't have sex before you get married, you build relationship, you build communication, you build understanding of who each other is as a person.
Right.
The minute you start to have sex, all that communication stops and goes away.
Yeah.
And we even see in the studies that we've looked at this week as we've prepped for this show that cohabitating or starting a sexual relationship cuts that level of communication for people.
Right.
It also impacts trust.
Oh, very much so. You feel, I'm not even sure how to put it in words, the way that it makes you feel to, as far as trusting that person.
Right.
You want to trust them, but they disrespected you.
Right. And it's dishonoring to both the man and the woman.
That's the word.
And so a lot of women are complaining that their boyfriends or the guys they live with don't want to marry them. And my thought is always, well, why would they?
Right.
They're getting everything they'd get from a wife without having to make the commitment. Then the woman is acting in a way that's dishonoring herself and her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And men don't want to marry women that aren't honoring to them.
No, they don't.
And if I'm angry at them or I don't trust them, I'm not going to display honor to them. So what benefit do they get out of marrying me?
Right. Absolutely.
None. So. Yeah. Even the studies are all showing that the divorce rate is higher among couples who have lived together than those who have waited.
Right.
And those who have waited to have sex have an even higher success rate, because the sex becomes the cement of the marriage, but they've already got, I'm committed to you for life, I've done all these things, now we're going to enjoy it within the structure of the protection of commitment.
Yeah. There was one study that talked about they put a couple under stress, and if the couple was holding hands, they were married, the stress level was nothing.
Right.
It didn't faze them. But if they put the stress level on a couple that were cohabitating, then their stress levels went up because
they couldn't really necessarily trust that person to stay, could
yes.
they didn't know that person was fully committed to
right,
them.
Right, right.
Now, you know, Romans chapter 1 talks about how we carry the consequence of sin in our body. And that is, in that section about worshiping the Creator, and you
right.
know, and then it says men and women will have lust for each other, and then they'll carry the consequences of their sin in their body. So I have people ask me if things like AIDS is God's punishment for homosexuality and stuff like that. And my answer is always no. But he's not protecting you from the consequence of your choice.
Right.
God tries to warn us that there are consequences to our choices. When we choose to go from partner to partner to partner, we are choosing the consequence in our body of the outcome of that. So that's things like HPV is a sexually transmitted disease. Nobody wants to talk about that.
Right.
AIDS is a sexually transmitted disease. Gonorrhea.
Herpes.
Herpes. And those things will negatively impact your children.
Yeah.
So when you say, I have the right to be sexually active, nobody should tell me what to do. Absolutely true.
That's right.
But we know the Bible says everything is allowable, but not everything is beneficial.
Right.
You have impacted your marriage, your spouse, yourself, and your children in a negative way. I know people who have had to have cesareans because of STDs that they would not have otherwise had to have.
Yep.
And I know women who, when they get into the cesarean, they find out they're completely full of chlamydia, which they cannot normally find,
right.
which could actually cause infertility. So
yeah.
you may also be saying, I'm okay with never having children.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of consequences to this choice, but there's only beauty in waiting.
Right. I like, if somebody wants a true love story and what it should be, it's go to the Song of Solomon.
Absolutely. I mean, they're building up, aren't they?
Yeah. But yet they have the restraint.
Yes, until the wedding night.
Until the wedding night.
And, you know, I'm going to tell you this. I even tell my premarital couples when I'm counseling them,
uh-huh.
don't feel like you have to run from the wedding to the hotel to have sex. You're exhausted. You just went through a big day. You've waited. You've had all this anticipation. Everybody's talked about it. There's this big buildup. But then we got two fully exhausted people.
Yeah.
So take a nap, sleep for the night, get your energy up, and then really fully enjoy each other.
Yes.
Fully awake, fully aware, and no rushing.
Yeah. Right.
And so
yeah.
then you really have given them your wedding gift.
Yes, absolutely.
When you've done that. You've really felt, been very present
yeah.
for the experience.
Yeah.
But if you've had sex with other people, you might be comparing.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people have walked away from wedding nights disappointed, even if they waited, because, you know, my wife turned out to not be as good as my ex-girlfriend, or, you know, there's always these comparisons, and your spouse will feel it.
Yeah, it will take away. It will take away from
right.
the marriage.
And working on overcoming a lot of that spiritually, because we can, through the blood of Jesus,
right.
reclaim some purity on it, it's really hard work.
It is.
And I'm doing it all the time, trying to help people feel that freedom. But the guilt, the shame, the presence of other people in their relationship, the comparisons, it's huge.
Yes.
Please hear me. We're not just blowing smoke here. It really impacts your marriage very negatively.
Yes, it does.
To be sleeping around, or to have multiple sex partners, or even if you only just slept with each other, there's nothing then that marks, hey, this is a special thing for us.
Right. Right.
Save it. Give your spouse that gift.
Yes, absolutely.
It's the greatest gift you can give.
Yes.
Well, Sharon, thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you.
And I will be talking with you guys again soon, and hopefully Catherine will be back. But if not, we always enjoy having Sharon join us.
Thank you.